Hey everyone, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 13. We're going to finish out the chapter, starting in verse 53. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So remember, in the immediate prior section, all through chapter 13 of Matthew, Jesus has been teaching in parables. He began teaching in parables because people began to resist him, and he refused to spoon-feed them the truth. Only the disciples, who had been willing to leave everything behind to follow him and learn from him and take up his yoke, only to them did he explain the parables. Only to them did he reveal the secrets of the kingdom. And essentially what we're going to see in this next section, beginning here and moving into chapter 14 of Matthew, is in some ways the parables illustrated. Here in his hometown, we're going to see people initially positive in response to Jesus' teaching, but then taking offense at it, then actually refusing to believe. And so we see maybe that first soil, they didn't understand it. They refused to stand under the teaching. And as a result, Satan comes and snatches it away. I think we see that kind of illustrated here. So at any rate, we're going to see the parables demonstrated, unwittingly, of course, by the people who refuse to listen to Jesus in this next handful of sections. So Jesus goes to the synagogue. I think it's important to note that Jesus, he didn't start his own synagogue. He entered the institutions of his own day and tried to renew them from within inside. This is notable because Paul does exactly the same thing. He, when he travels, looks for synagogues and first preaches the message of Jesus there. And maybe one thing it tells us is that the gospel needs to be preached first and foremost in the church. That's where it needs to be preached with renewed vigor and renewed intensity. Of course, this is his hometown. And initially, much like in the parables of the sower, they're really excited. They're really impressed with what Jesus has to say and with the deeds that he's doing. But they refuse to look under the surface of what they're seeing and only see the surface. Jesus does not impress. He's familiar. He doesn't have an advanced religious degree. He's not from some great religious family. And so they're offended at him. The word here is scandalized, and it has a connotation of refusal. In other words, there's a hardened will in there. They refuse to believe him because he doesn't come on terms that flatter their sensibilities. Remember, Paul said that the gospel, it doesn't appeal to Greeks because they look for wisdom on their terms. It doesn't appeal to the Jews because they look for signs on their terms. And so the people in Jesus' hometown seize on these problems, seize on the overfamiliarity of Jesus, and that becomes their excuse, I think, for not following him. So again, Jesus doesn't come and pander to our sensibilities of what the Messiah ought to be or what God ought to be. And in some ways, we can say that they're offended because he's too familiar, he's too human. He's too human and ordinary. We know him. He's our neighbor. I mean, how can he be the Messiah? How can he be divine? I think it's very important to note that in Christian teaching, Jesus is fully God and fully man, fully human. And he is not less divine for being fully human. But if we can't get beyond his humanity or recognize that his humanity is essential to what he has to do, then we're not going to see his divinity. So there's this error that if you show the humanity of Jesus, that you deny the divinity, but that's not the case. So it says that he's despised, or the word that is used there is they didn't receive him. They held him in low esteem. This word is interesting because it occurs in the Greek translation of Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by others. He was despised and we held him of no account. So this is actually something that the prophets of old said would happen. He doesn't impress our human standards because our human standards are wrong. They're upside down. They're sinful. They're inside out. So they can't receive him. They can't learn to look below the surface of what they see to see what all of that points to. And it says that he did not do many miracles. Where faith is not present, not much happens. And I think it's worth asking, if we are so familiar with Jesus that he can't do much in our midst, if we are so familiar with all the sort of familiar language and lingo and that he is not one living who stands in our midst and who continues to speak and who continues to act. If the gospel is true, that God raised Jesus from the dead, he's alive now and present to his people. So may we be spared the hardness of heart of the hometown crowd that used familiarity as an excuse to not let Jesus be who he is. And may he be in our midst, one who is alive and active, whose word is powerful, and whose deeds reveal the Father. Amen.